Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage's completely online process lets you get a custom mortgage solution wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Some say it was Donald Trump's hard line on immigration that propelled him to his party's nomination, with talk of building a wall, of criminals and porous borders, of a rigged election he describes with illegal immigrants sneaking in votes. Hillary Clinton pushed back in the final debate last week, saying we are a nation of immigrants, that she would introduce immigration reform in her first 100 days in office, including a path to citizenship. This hour on Point, the immigration issue, the choice, November 8th, and how it might shape the country. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Where do you stand on immigration? How important is it to your vote? Where would Trump take us? Where would Clinton? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. It was there from the beginning in the Trump campaign. Here's what he said about the border in his announcement speech, throwing his hat in the ring last June.
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. And I'll build them very inexpensively. I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Yeah. Mark my words.
And he has said it again and again and again. The baseline issue of Donald Trump's campaign, you might say. During the third and final presidential debate, Hillary Clinton criticized his proposal of increased deportation. She wants to continue Obama administration programs that help families with both illegal and legal immigrants in them.
I don't want to rip families apart. I don't want to be sending parents away from children. I don't want to see the deportation force that Donald has talked about in action in our country. We have 11 million undocumented people. They have 4 million American citizen children.
We're going to look at the immigration choice on November 8th in this hour. Joining me first today from Miami is Alan Gomez. He's immigration reporter for USA Today. Alan, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
How do you see the fundamental choice on the table for Americans? If immigration is important to their vote, what's the choice they're making between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton on November 8th?
Well, I can tell you in past presidential elections, it's been a little bit more murky in terms of, you know, who was on one side, who was on the other. This is an absolutely clear choice. You look through Trump's immigration plan, you reference the wall, but basically his entire immigration proposal is a collection of all of the sort of extremely conservative approaches to clamp down on immigration in this country, increasing interior enforcement, more deportations, ending birthright citizenship. And on the other side, you have Clinton, who is completely continuing what President Obama has done, but expanding on it. She wants to protect more undocumented immigrants from deportation. She wants to end the practice of keeping kids and mothers who are violators of immigration laws. She wants to take them out of prison and put them out into the communities. She wants to allow undocumented immigrants to access the Affordable Care Act. So basically, you have two ultimate extremes in this, and so you have a very clear choice.
Is it clear who's making the case in a more fact-based way? Whose description of where we stand? You cover this professionally. Whose description of where this country stands in terms of people coming in terms of the issues with that the country has faced, is more accurate?
That's a tough question, Tom. When you start looking at some of the things that they want to do, I think it's not so much a question about who's more grounded in reality or who's using better facts, because it's basically everybody knows there's still undocumented immigrants coming into the country by the hundreds of thousands. We're still deporting many of those back to their home countries. I think the question is not so much whether that's happening or not. It's what you want to do about it, whether you want to get rid of all of them and build a big wall and close it off for the forever, or if you want to sort of integrate the ones who are here, allow them to stay, and figure out how to get the criminal ones out of the country in a more nuanced approach like that.
So let's look at that. When it comes to deportation, Barack Obama, as Donald Trump pointed out himself in the last debate, has deported millions. He's been called deporter in chief. Who has he been deporting? I know it's eased off a little bit lately, but who in his administration, what were the main targets? And how would Hillary's deportation plans compare with those of President Obama?
President Obama has absolutely just broken all kinds of records when it comes to how many people he's deported. But that's been changing over the last few years. In the early years of his administration, he was averaging close to 400,000 people a year who were being deported from this country. That's come down all the way to almost in half. He's down about 235,000 last year who were deported. And what they're doing, what they're trying to do is instead of just rounding up and getting everybody out, what they're trying to do is more focus on people with criminal backgrounds, with gang ties, with any sort of terrorist background. And so they're trying to get those criminal aliens, as they refer to them, out of the country. How Hillary Clinton would handle that in the future, that becomes a little bit more difficult. And that's partly a result that immigration, for as much as we talked about it all last summer when Trump came roaring out talking about his wall, it has not really been an issue in any of these debates. They just barely got into it in the last debate and quickly pivoted away from it. And so when it comes to a lot of these details about how exactly she would handle this question, we really don't know right now.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, nevertheless, it's not just the debates. She's got policy positions up online, as she constantly tells us. Does she say anywhere, I would continue the aggressive deportation of the Barack Obama administration under a Hillary Clinton administration?
Well, I'll read you the bullet point right here. Enforce immigration laws humanely. I don't think she in any way indicates that she's going to stop deporting people who are here illegally who have criminal backgrounds. I think that's something that she would absolutely continue. But the focus throughout her immigration, through that portion of her immigration plan, has been to do it more humanely. If you're an undocumented minor who's come from Guatemala, if you're a mother who's coming with a couple of kids, she doesn't want those people to be held in immigration detention anymore. She wants them to be able to get out on bond and go through the regular course of their immigration case. And so for her, it's more about protecting families, keeping them together through whatever deportation process they may face. But I would think that would tell you that absolutely when it comes to those criminal immigrants, that they would absolutely continue targeting them.
And what about Donald Trump on this front, the deportation front? He has said at points in the campaign, all those undocumented must go, 11 million. Hillary Clinton attacked him hard on that, saying she pictures, trains and buses. It sounds like some kind of genocide, the way she describes it. But he describes it as sort of cleaning up. Is he still sticking with that? That if you came in a way that was not fully formally legal, you've got to go?
I don't know. and I say that to make a point. He has, on that point, it's really remarkable. He has kind of wavered around this question quite a bit over the last year. He started off saying, yeah, if you're here illegally, they all got to go. And then he started over the next few months kind of providing all these caveats. Okay, once we get the border wall done and we get the bad guys out, or as he said the other night, the bad hombres, once we get those guys out of the country, and then maybe we can see about what we do with the folks who are left behind. He's talked in the past about people who've been here for decades and have been hardworking. And so he's always left open that possibility. There was a speech he gave in Phoenix earlier this year where, he had just gone to Mexico, met with the Mexican president. He went to Phoenix and he started talking and he gave this very big immigration speech, and everybody got caught up in the rage and the fury of it and how much he was doubling down on the wall and how he was going to really stick it to Mexico and all this. And then at the end of it, he's like, oh, but then once we get all those people out, well, then we'll figure out what to do with the ones who are left behind. And so he's left that in there. So there is a possibility that maybe not a full pathway to citizenship for them, but some of these ideas that we've heard in the past about giving them some form of legal status where they can live here, work here, but not quite attain citizenship, which is where we assume he's headed with that.
It can get murky even in Trump land, I guess. What about the border and the wall? He says big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door if you do it right, if you do it legally. But when you really get, and we're going to talk in just a moment with Sheriff Tony Estrada out of Nogales, Arizona, who's right down there where presumably there would be more wall on the southern border anyway. When you get right down to it, how do you see the difference between what Donald Trump is promising in terms of border security and what Hillary Clinton is promising, proposing?
Another one of those cases where they could not be further away from each other. We've heard about this great, big, beautiful wall. think he said at some points it might get up to 50 feet high. You know, having
That's
been along
high.
The border, exactly. And you know, having been along the border myself, I there's just whole stretches of it. I don't know how you would build a wall over mountains and canyons and things like that. But you know, we can get into the logistics of it later. But no, he absolutely wants this giant wall. He wants to increase the size of the Border Patrol. He wants to increase the size of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE agents, triple their number in the country. So basically, make it so that it just becomes this impenetrable barrier that you can't get through. And if you do, that there's going to be even more immigration agents right behind it, ready to catch you. While Hillary, she has endorsed the idea in the past, and as Senator had voted for expansions of, at the time, what they called the border fence. Those are in very select areas where they think it might have a really big impact. The sheriff, I'm sure, will talk about this, and we've heard about this in the past, that, you know, a lot of them along the border say, yes, look, a wall makes sense in some places like San Diego, where there's a huge population right along the border, but it doesn't make sense across a whole vast empty desert or along these mountains. And so she's accepted that some of this should be increased, but definitely does not want an entire border wall. And she's not really talked about at all what she would do, again, for enhancing the number of Border Patrol agents along the southwest border, whether we should add more technology, more radars along that region. So we're just, with her, we're working a little bit in the dark.
We're going to hear from Sheriff Tony Estrada in just a moment. Do you see a fundamental philosophical divide between these two candidates when it comes to how this country, which has been a country of immigrants, how it would see immigration going forward, Alan?
Yes. I mean, I think both of them, interestingly enough, will tell you that we need to reform our legal immigration system to allow for more high-tech workers to get into the country. That's something that Trump has included in his immigration plan. He doesn't really talk about that part too much on the stump when he's riling up the base, but that's absolutely part of it. Both of them think that we really need some workers to get in here, as he talks about, as he puts it, the good ones. While with Hillary, she's more expansive. I think, you know, that's where it stops for Trump. But I think with Hillary, she's more interested in bringing in more low-skilled workers, keeping families together to more broadly help the economy and help the country.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the issue of immigration in the 2016 presidential campaign. Who comes, who stays, who goes? American policy and immigration under a President Hillary Clinton, under a President Donald Trump. The election is less than 2 weeks away now, and this has been a foundational issue, certainly for the Trump campaign. Not so much discussed in the debates, but it did get some work out in the last debate. Alan Gomez is with us from USA Today, immigration reporter there. We're going to go in just a moment to Nogales, Arizona, and Sheriff Tony Estrada, who looks this right in the face. Trump here was saying in August, when he came back from his visit to Mexico, he was in Phoenix, not so far from Nogales, saying that under his administration, there would be no amnesty for illegal immigrants.
Our message to the world will be this: you cannot obtain legal status or become a citizen of the United States by illegally entering our country. Can't do it.
Donald Trump in Phoenix. In Las Vegas earlier this year, Hillary Clinton met with children of undocumented immigrants. One of them was 10-year-old Carla Ortiz, who started crying when she said she was scared her parents might get an order of deportation. Clinton called Ortiz over to her and held her on her lap.
I'm going to do everything I can so you don't have to be scared. I feel really, really strongly that you're being very brave. And you have to be brave for them, too. Because they want you to be happy. They want you to be successful. They don't want you to worry too much. Let me do the worrying. I'll do all the worrying. Is that a deal? I'll do the worry. I'll do everything I can to help, okay?
You can join us. What's the message you want to send with your vote when it comes to immigration? Alan Gomez, please stand by there in Miami. It's great to have you with us. I want to go right down to the border now, to Nogales, Arizona, south of Tucson. Of course, there's a Nogales on the U.S. side, Nogales on the Mexican side. Santa Cruz County borders Mexico there. Tony Estrada is sheriff of Santa Cruz County, and he joins us right now from Nogales. Sheriff Estrada, thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity.
It's great to have you here. It's a big issue. It's right in your lap. Can we go straight to the wall? Donald Trump is talking about building a great big wall. He's talked about it from the very beginning. We've seen you quoted as saying that's a fantasy. What do you mean by that, Sheriff Estrada? You're right there on the border.
Well, it's ludicrous. You know, everything he says, he's catering to these people's fears. He always talks about great things, great walls, great buildings, great this, great that. That's the way he kind of portrays himself. And obviously, he can convince people. You know, the wall is there to discourage people and sometimes, keep them from coming across. But people that are determined, people that are poor, people that are oppressed, you know, they will find a way, and they have been finding a way. So the wall is not the answer. It may be part of an option or a solution, but it's definitely not the answer. It's not going to stop these people from coming across. You know, as they started beefing up the border here in Nogales and Santa Cruz County, 1995, I think, was a pivotal year here. We started seeing more people coming across. And drugs, of course, has always been a major concern and issue. But prior to 1995, here along the border, there were less than 100 Border Patrol agents. So we had some issues here with people coming across. And they did say that, don't go to Nogales, Santa Cruz County. You know, it's not a good place to visit because of the issues that we were facing at that time. However, shortly after that, about 1995, like I mentioned, we started getting more Border Patrol agents to the point there was about 1,000 Border Patrol agents in this small county. And they put up a fence. They stretched the fence. They made a little, fortified it. They put agents along the fence in the urban area, sensor, cameras, floodlights, everything. So all of a sudden, you know, that cross-border crime that we were getting, people that were coming across through gaps in the fence, it stopped completely. Almost none of them could make it through here, through the urban areas. So what happened as a result of this, all the security between the ports of entries, and we have three ports of entries here.
Yeah.
In 1995 was the first drug tunnel that was discovered here in the city of Nogales, two blocks away from the main port of entry, the Dennis DeConcini port of entry, at an old abandoned church about two blocks from the main port of entry. Since 1995, it's been over 110 drug tunnels. Now, people and drugs will come across, like I say, through the tunnels. People will come to the ports of entry. They'll have false documents. They'll make false claims. They'll come around the fence, over the fence. You know, it does not stop them. So,
Sheriff Estrada, if I may, are you saying that we don't have a problem with undocumented entry into this country, with illegal drugs coming over the border?
It's a border, obviously, and this is a problem. We have this appetite here in the United States for drugs. We have 5% of the world's population and consume over 50% of the world's drugs. So we do have a problem with regards to that. That's come with we see all these drugs coming across. And now we have poverty all over the world. And it's just not people from Mexico anymore, which used to be the focus in the 90s and the 2000, year 2000. Now it's people coming from all over. But it is a border. And
is it a problem to you, that flow of people? Is that flow, to your eye, a problem, Sheriff?
Well, it's a problem for them, and it's a problem for us, obviously. So how are we going to deal with it? Are we going to deport 11 million people that are here already? That's going to be very, very expensive and very difficult and possibly impossible. You know, as long as the United States is a beacon of opportunity, and we can be grateful for that, and I think we should, people will continue to come.
Don't you think, can we make it a legal way of coming, though, instead of an undocumented way? Is that not, that's what Donald Trump is saying. We'll build a big, beautiful wall, but apply formally and don't just come walking in.
Well, I think we all agree, and I can tell you that I agree. We all agree that people should come across legally. They should. I think we all agree on that. The stark reality of this is that the people, a lot of the people mm-hmm. that are coming are so poor. They have no paper trail. They have no track record. Mm-hmm. They have no opportunity of being given a visa or work permit of any kind. So their only way that they can come into this country, obviously, is illegal. It's not right. It's not proper. But that's the reality of what we're facing right now.
Sheriff Tony Estrada in Santa Cruz County, Arizona, Nogales there. Thank you very much for being with us today, Sheriff.
You're welcome. I hope you heard what I...
We're listening. Our ears are wide open. Fantasy. The wall is a fantasy, you say, but it's subtle. It's nuanced when you really get into it. And we're paying close attention. Sheriff Tony Estrada in Nogales, Arizona, right there on the border. Very grateful to you for joining us. Earlier this week, Chris Cabrera, Border Control agent in Texas, told CBS News that his department has seen a spike in illegal immigrants, dozens now, he says, every day crossing the border. Just dozens. He says the U.S. election is having an effect at the Mexican border. Here he was.
The smugglers are telling them if Hillary gets elected, that there'll be some type of amnesty, so they need to get here by a certain date. They're also being told that if Trump gets elected, there's going to be some magical wall that pops up overnight. And once that wall gets up, nobody will ever get in again.
Well, magic, I don't know about magic. Magic is a different thing, but people have all sorts of attitudes about the wall. We're going to get some big perspectives on this issue right now. Jessica Vaughn joins us in just a moment. Alex Narusta joins me right now. He is at the Cato Institute, libertarian, in Washington. He's immigration policy analyst there. We heard him over the weekend on This American Life on a lot of your public radio stations around the country with Ira Glass. It was Ira Glass talking about Alex and his view of what's going on. You'll hear Alex come in just at the end, then he'll join us. Here's Ira Glass.
Alex Narusta, the guy from the Cato Institute, contests all the big plot points that you hear on right-wing media about immigration, that immigrants cause more crime than native-born Americans, that they are a drain on taxpayers, and, of course, that they're flooding across the border. I wonder what it was like for him to see those ideas propagated so often, so broadly, and taken so seriously by so many people, like to the point where a candidate is proposing a wall and then stadiums cheer.
It's incredibly depressing to see people base their policy opinions on things that just simply are not true.
That was This American Life. This is On Point, and Alex Narusta is with us from Washington. Mr. Narusta, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Is it true that you dispute all of these characterizations? Number one, immigrants cause more crime. Number two, they're a drain on taxpayers. Number three, they're flooding across the border.
Oh, yeah, I dispute all of those. I mean, the literature, the academic literature and research that pushes against that is overwhelming and is so convincing that I think just an honest look at the amount of data should convince even the most skeptical person. I mean, the impact of immigration on crime, you look at study after study after study, immigration is correlated with lower crime rates across urban areas, and they are less likely to be incarcerated for violent and property crimes. When it comes to immigration's impact on the fiscal situation, on sort of the budget deficit, again and again, studies conclude that immigration has about a net zero impact on budgets. You know, a little bit negative in some places, a little bit positive in others, but the long run effect is generally about zero. And the notion that there's sort of this huge flood of illegal immigrants coming across the border is just totally at odds with the statistics reported by Customs and Border Protection, by demographers, by everybody who is actually on the ground taking a look at this and measuring it.
So when Donald Trump says pouring in, you're disputing that?
The number of apprehensions by Border Patrol, which is one of the proxy measurements we use for trying to understand the flow or the number of people pouring in, is about the same as what it was in the mid-1970s. So we saw a big increase since the 70s, you know, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, up to the Great Recession. And since then, we have seen a collapse in the number of illegal immigrants attempting to enter and successfully entering the United States.
You're a libertarian. Does that mean you're an open borders guy, that you don't really care that much? I mean, what about the notion that American citizens with their votes should be able to say we want more or less of this? What about when people look over those decades you described when millions did come in and say, wait, this is too much for us. This is too hard to absorb. What do you say about that?
Well, it's true that the government has the power to control immigration. The question, though, is in the real world whether our laws are actually able to do that effectively, whether they can actually repeal the laws of supply and demand, and they don't. In this country, there is an enormous demand for foreign-born workers and foreign-born consumers to come here. Americans individually want them to do that for their businesses and to sell them goods and services. The government, however, has a different notion, and whenever the laws and reality come into conflict, reality always wins. So it's an idea not of what we want pie in the sky, but what kind of laws will work and reflect reality, and our heavily restrictive immigration laws simply don't work because they can't repeal the laws of supply and demand.
But what does that mean? If we don't have a tough posture on immigration, yes, the numbers have gone down, as you say, in recent years, but what if they went back to the large inflow years of the 80s and 90s? Is that A-OK with you as a libertarian? You have no problem with that?
Well, I do have a problem with people breaking the laws. I do think that the laws, however, need to be able to be followed by the vast majority of people in an easy way. And that's the problem. Our immigration laws do not allow for enough legal immigration for the folks who are trying to come here illegally. I mean, there's virtually no way to come here on a green card if you are a low-skilled worker. The number of guest worker visas is severely limited by law. So I think to get control of the border, in case this happens again, what we need to do is make it easier for people to come legally, and that will diminish the supply of people who want to come illegally.
Alex Naresta with the Cato Institute, please stand by in Washington. Alan Gomez in Miami with USA Today. We know you're right there. Jessica Vaughn joins me now in the studio. She's Director of Policy Studies for the Center for Immigration Studies. It's a think tank that advocates for stricter controls on immigration. Jessica Vaughn, welcome back to On Point. Good to have you here.
Hi, Tom. Glad to be here.
So there's Alex with his perspective on this. Look, it's supply and demand. There's only so much you can do in the end. Let's be more realistic. If there's a big influx, let's make it easier to come in a legal way. And he says there's not really a downside to this immigration. How do you see it, Jessica?
Now, there most certainly is a downside to immigration. And immigration policy, like every other policy, has winners and losers. And what the National Research Council found, that, you know, the big, you know, the academy, if as it were, has found that the people who benefit from our current immigration policies are the immigrants themselves and the employers who benefit from a steady stream of workers coming in and an oversupply of workers. And that means that they don't have to pay them as much. The losers from our current immigration policy are those Americans who have to compete for the same kinds of job opportunities as immigrants, and that is primarily workers at the lower end of the pay scale who are trying and struggling to become self-sufficient. The other losers are taxpayers who have to pick up an increased cost in terms of social services, welfare programs, and so on.
Alex says that's fundamentally a wash.
Well, that's not what the National Research Council found, and many others who have looked at this information, is that it does increase the tax burden, particularly on state and local governments, because they're picking up increased costs for education, healthcare, housing, and other social service programs that immigrants need because they're at the lower end of the pay scale.
He also says,
and not paying as much in taxes to cover what they're getting in services.
He disputes that. I mean, some of them pay in without getting a whole lot back, of course. He also says we don't have a problem with a flood of immigrants coming in, so why go there?
Well, he's only reading the data up to about 2007. Illegal immigration did slow down in the recession for a lot of reasons, also because there was more enforcement at that time. And it pretty much has stayed steady since about 2009. And we've detected a significant increase in the number of settled immigrants, legal and illegal, in the last 2 years. We take in about 1 million legal immigrants a year. There are about 600,000 guest workers coming, and more than 500,000 illegal immigrants are settling here every single year. This has profound impacts on the labor market and on the public assistance costs and so on, educational costs and so on.
Alex Naresta, do you agree with those numbers? And if you do, do you say, yes, but that's fine? That's what America is? It's an immigration nation?
Well, for one thing, the number of apprehensions by CBP in 2015 was about half of what it was in 2008. But in terms of the public assistance numbers, the National Research Council ran numerous different projections in their study. They came up with lots of different answers, some positive, some negative. But they only did one type of projection. Lots of other ones done by academics across the spectrum have found that the net impact is about zero. Now, if you have a problem with public assistance, you have a problem with welfare, have a problem with public schools, and I do, the answer is to reform those systems rather than to try to mess around with the demographics of the United States by centrally planning the immigration system.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings home financing into the 21st century with a completely online process that's fast, easy, and convenient. Using a phone or tablet, you can safely share bank statements and pay stubs without having to dig through piles of paperwork. It takes just a few minutes to get a custom mortgage solution on your terms, wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the issue of immigration in the 2016 presidential campaign. Who comes? Who stays? Who goes? Jessica Vaughn is with us. Her group, the Center for Immigration Studies, advocates for stricter controls on immigration. Alex Narasta is with us from the Cato Institute. They're libertarian, much more open-minded, open-armed view toward immigration. Joins us today from Washington. Alan Gomez is here, immigration reporter at USA Today, following all the arguments and positions of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. In terms of the immigration issue, what will you be voting for or against on November 8th? Alan, I want to come to you in just a moment. Let me get a call or two here first. Justine in Atlanta, Georgia. Justine, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for accepting my call. Mm-hmm. Firstly, I want to say thank you for having such a balanced discussion. It's really refreshing to hear a variety of perspectives, including mine, that's, I guess, somewhere in between.
Let's hear it.
I am a Trump supporter. Sort of a reluctant Trump supporter. I guess I'll be holding my nose and voting for Trump this November. And the reason is immigration. It's because I 100% agree with him on immigration. I have had a lot of experience traveling around the world. I've lived all over the world. My husband has as well. And I think that he's absolutely right when he says that the people in your country are key to, you know, the future of that country. And so we are, America is great because Americans are great, is what I believe. And I think that that means people who are recent immigrants, people who are here legally, people who have, whose families came over on the Mayflower. I think everybody contributes something, but I think that it's very important that people follow the law in coming to the United States. I think that we should give people an opportunity through, you know, work visas, whether they be H visas, J visas, green card opportunities. But I think that border control is very important.
What do you say to the sheriff we just heard from? You must have heard him in Nogales, Arizona, who says the walls of fantasy won't work. What do you think about that, Justine?
I think that everything else that he says supports Donald Trump. I think when he talks about drug tunnels being made to, you know, circumvent the fences and walls that have already been built, I think that's an argument for increasing the effectiveness of ICE. I think that that is an argument for the rest of Donald Trump's plan, so that maybe the wall is not 100% of the immigration plan. It is part of it. So when he talks about crime, he talks about changes in demographics, he talks about, you know, all of the other problems and the ways that people circumvent the wall that exists or the fences that exist in border towns, I think that's an argument for everything else that Trump has called for.
Toughen up, says Justine, and holding your nose maybe and going with Donald Trump from Atlanta, Georgia. Let me get one more, and I'll bring it to my panel. Alejandro in Birmingham, Alabama. Alejandro, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for accepting my call. You know, I'm an undocumented immigrant living in Birmingham, and I myself can't vote, but out of the two, it would be clear to me, you know, I have to support Hillary. I do electoral work in my free time. I'm involved in the civic system a lot more than when I meet some of the people that should be out there voting.
What do you mean by electoral work, Alejandro? What do you mean you do electoral work? What's that mean?
Like I go and register people to vote.
Yep.
When I previously had a work permit, I've been part of political campaigns in North Carolina.
When did you come to the U.S., Alejandro, if I may ask?
I came here when I was 10 years old, so I've been through the public education system. My dreams were crushed when I found out that I couldn't go to college under our current laws, under our current state laws, and I just had to go on from there.
What do you say to Americans who say, great, but we don't, Americans who say they don't want to see undocumented immigrants. They want it all to be legal and formal. What do you say to that, Alejandro?
I say that you know, just do a little more research, because when people say get in line, the line doesn't exist for most of us. My family, we all came here together. You know, we're first generation immigrants, so the line is very exclusive to people who have U.S. born relatives, to people who are skilled workers, and that's mostly people with PhDs and college already graduated, and you know, people who are victims of serious crimes. And you know, 11 million people plus are out here not being able to fit in any of those lines.
What do you think will happen, Alejandro, if Donald Trump's elected and he says, okay, we're going to start deporting on a mass scale, millions of people back to wherever, what do you think would happen?
I think a lot of money is going to get spent and the job is not going to get done. I mean, I agree with the sheriff in a lot that he said. I mean, he's down there seeing it firsthand. And he said, you know, there was another story, I don't know what, but they were talking with the Mexico side of Nogales, and they were saying they're not ready for that influx of people. The border is not ready for that influx of people at all. And, you know, like the sheriff said, people are going to find a way. You know, 20 years ago, they put the fence up. People started dying in the river. You know, they tried to fix that. People started dying in the mountains. They started to fix that. People started dying in the desert. I mean, we're just going to see an increase in people dying trying to cross the border, because the dire need of, you know, third world countries doesn't just end because we decide to shut out our, you know, our borders or try to get.
Alejandro, I thank you for your call. I wish you good luck. Alan Gomez, between my guests and our callers, what's the philosophical canyon you see that sits in front of us here?
And I think that brings us all the way back to the beginning, where we talked about, you know, there is this population of undocumented immigrants in this country, about 11 million people. There are still about 400,000, at least 400,000 people who are getting caught trying to cross into the country every year. And so the question is what you want to do about it. You know, there's a chain of thought that says that this is important. This is needed for our country to drive our economy. Both of your guests have mentioned this study from the National Research Council. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that it found was that, and I'm just going to read this here really quickly, the inflow of labor supply has helped the United States avoid the problems facing other economies that have stagnated as a result of unfavorable demographics. So you got that side. And then there's the others who say, you know, we're good. We're full up. We got plenty to do here. We got plenty of workers here. We just got to get, you know, full U.S. employment. We got to look out for American workers who are unemployed. That should be our main priority. And so, right, you have that huge chasm that you have to cross. And it's just a matter of what side of that debate you end up on.
Jessica Vaughn, here's a listener online, writes to us on Twitter, isn't it true the U.S. agriculture industry would collapse without undocumented immigrants? And what about the hospitality sector?
No, it's not true that the U.S. agricultural industry would collapse. Only about 5% of people living here illegally are even working in agriculture. We're seeing lots of progress on mechanization in agriculture.
Yeah, but that's the percentage working in agriculture. But in agriculture, what percentage is undocumented? It's high, isn't it?
It's probably about 40 to 50%.
That's a huge chunk of our food supply going through those hands.
Yes, but
that's half.
If we have legal guest worker programs for agricultural workers that are underutilized, and we also are seeing much more mechanization to reduce the need for people doing some of the jobs that are being done now, whether it's apple picking or orange picking or lettuce picking, all kinds of innovations that could be made that growers don't need to make right now because they see a steady supply of workers that they've come to be addicted to over the last decades. But some of them are starting to see that they may not be able to count on that inflow of workers who are coming illegally, and starting to think about what they can do differently, as Europe has done in their agriculture sector, whether it's machines for milking cows or picking apples or what have you. They will find other business models that don't depend on illegal workers.
Alex Narasta, first, what about that? Can the American economy work without this population, if that's even a realistic option to imagine? And then I want you to address this. Here's another listener who writes online. Alejandro calls in. He's been here since he was 10. He's undocumented, and his family's here. And, you know, he says, look, there's a lot of suffering out there. So does the sheriff in Nogales say that. Those people are going to come. But here's a skeptical voice. And this is a hard message online. But anyway, this listener writes, American liberals want America to become the world's battered women's shelter. that it's not about, you know, America first interest, but that turning it into sort of the place, I guess, that this, what the Statue of Liberty says, bring me, you know, your people in trouble. Is that what you're saying, Alex?
Well, on the economic point, I mean, the U.S. economy would not collapse if there were no undocumented or illegal immigrant workers. It would just be a lot smaller. It would shrink. And a lot of sectors in the economy, like agriculture, construction, and others, would shrink by having fewer consumers, but also fewer workers. The reason why a lot of producers don't use mechanization is because mechanization is more expensive than the current options. The reasons they don't use the guest worker programs is because they're too regulated. They're too controlled by the government, and they need to be deregulated so people can actually use them. So it's true, we won't all starve to death if undocumented immigrants are all turned away. It's just that everything will be more expensive and the economy will be a bit smaller. Now, in terms of whether the U.S. should be a, you know, the battered women's shelter of the world, I think that the U.S. should accept a large number of people from around the world who are fleeing tyranny, who are fleeing other problems, who are fleeing oppression, like many of the ancestors of the people who are listening here today. I don't have a problem with that. Now, if we have a problem with welfare or public services, then we can address those issues and fix those issues.
Does that still work today? When a lot of people came in the 19th and early 20th century, they were headed right into, you know, a heavy industry that you didn't have to have a lot of education or training for that. I mean, the argument today is what we really need is the high end, the PhDs, I don't know, all that. Does it still work to have the open arms policy economically in terms of where the country needs to go, Alex?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we need worker. The U.S. economy demands workers and consumers at every level of education, at every sort of skill level, and whether it's high tech, but also mid-level industries such as accounting or lawyers or other sort of occupations, as well as low tech. I mean, obviously, I think this coming from a person who supports free markets, that the economy is better able to judge the types of workers it demands rather than bureaucrats and politicians in Washington, D.C.
Brian in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Brian, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I'm just listening to the program and this what's this gentleman's name from Washington?
Narasta, Alex Narasta from Cato.
All right, Alex, you need to come down here to the southern part of the United States and out of your office there in Washington, because the situation on the ground does not reflect anywhere near what you're talking about. And you've been
in what way, Brian? In what way?
They're pouring across the border, these illegal immigrants. They are pouring across the border. And a lot of them are children. They're coming from farther down south than Mexico. And there's thousands of them. And we're having to house them here on military bases, one military base here in Oklahoma. And it's crazy, the effect they're having, the adults, on the hospital bills, the schools.
Do you think a wall would fix it, Brian? Do you think a wall would fix it?
Well, a wall is going to be better than nothing.
Brian, I appreciate your call. Alan Gomez, the facts here. People ask for the facts. Are they pouring across the border or not?
Overall, the overall number of undocumented immigrants entering the country right now is significantly lower than it has been in the past. In 2000, it was 1.6 million people who were caught by Border Patrol. We're down to about 400,000 now. But what's changed is the makeup of those undocumented immigrants that are coming in. Where in the last about 3-4 years, we have seen a big increase in the number of children and mothers coming with their children across the border. This year, we set a new record, 68,000 unaccompanied minors who came into the country. So we're talking basically teenagers there and preteens who are coming along. And once they get here, unlike if they're coming from Central America, we can't just say, okay, just get back into Mexico. We have to bring them in. We have to house them. We have to give them a hearing. And then perhaps down the road, deport them back to their home country. So those numbers absolutely are going up.
Jessica, how are you looking at all this? The callers that we've had here, the range of perspectives. You know, it's everything from people who want to stick with the Statue of Liberty message. You know, bring me your huddled masses yearning to be free. She's not talking about PhDs on that tablet. Well, you're smiling, but she wasn't. I mean, that philosophy that's carved there right on the statue, that's an emblem of our nation's history of immigration. was sincerely meant for a long time. What about now?
Oh, I think it's still meant. I think we all cherish America's tradition of welcoming immigrants. A lot of people would probably stick a little carrot in there and say a reasonable number of you're tired, you're poor, and mm-hmm. so on. Because, and with respect to the policy, we are seeing an increase of people coming illegally over the borders and overstaying their visas. Part of it is the policy. It's not just the lack of barriers at the border. It's the fact that the message has been sent out that if you can get to the United States, you're going to be allowed to stay as long as you're not a serious criminal. So as long as we have catch and release policies and policies that look the other way at people who are here illegally, everyone around the world is going to have a huge incentive to try to get here because they think that they will be allowed to stay. This is what they're telling the Border Patrol when they're interviewed. That's why they're coming. And so until that policy changes, until we have interior enforcement, until it's impossible for people to get jobs if they do get here illegally, we're going to continue seeing this influx.
Are we going to have boxcars full of people being shipped back over the border then? Millions are hard to move.
No, of course not.
Hillary Clinton paints a kind of Sophie's Choice picture, a kind of, you know, really bleak picture of stormtroopers.
Right, and she knows that's not what.
Well,
that's
really,
a cartoon
version
of enforcement.
Is it really? How would you do that? 11 million is a lot of people.
Look, we already have hundreds of thousands of people going back on their own. If you can't get a job, can't get public assistance, can't live here as can't get a driver's license, can't live here as if you are here legally, then you're going to try. Who wouldn't try? The point is to have. To have an immigration policy that allows people in that we've chosen to get here. And so in other words, the way Barbara Jordan put it, the late great civil rights leader, she said, those who we decide to let in should get in. Those who don't can't. And those who are here illegally should be sent home.
Alan Gomez, last word to you. Is there a consensus in Congress, no matter who gets in, for a big change, or are we going to continue muddling along?
I would put my money on muddling along for a while.
After all this, after the stark relief that Donald Trump has put this in, even now?
I mean, there's an opportunity now in the House with Paul Ryan as Speaker. He's been more open to the idea of a comprehensive immigration reform. We've seen the Senate already pass that kind of bill a couple of years ago. So there's definitely the possibility if Clinton gets in there. If Trump gets in there, I think we all know that we're just not quite sure what we're going to get.
Alan Gomez with USA Today, Alex Naresta, Jessica Vaughn, our thanks to all three of you for being with us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.